This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? We're off and running on a Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're coming to you from coast to coast as always. Michael out of his office in Jersey. I'm right here at Circa Resort and Casino downtown Las Vegas. Got so much to get to over the course of the next 2 hours. A number of injuries to update as we always do on a Wednesday. Get some of those reports out there. We're just a day out from Thursday Night Football. A number of 3-3 teams we want to analyze to see if they are on the up and up or the downward spiral, and it's Why Not Wednesday. So you know we got some long shots that we're going to throw your way and see whether or not they might be worth buying in. Michael, how are you today? What's going on, my guy?
I am good. I am doing very good. You know, it's a good week. We try to keep up with all these injuries, less games to kind of get ready for, but it's still good. I'm excited to see what happens and who plays and who doesn't play. You know, these injury reports are always interesting to kind of manipulate. I thought the line, you know, and just specifically Jacksonville, the line when this morning was back down to 1, which makes it seem like Trevor Lawrence will play. The line was 3 yesterday when we were on the show. Now it's 1.
Yep, that's one we'll continue to keep an eye on. But Trevor Lawrence, of course, talking to reporters yesterday, said he feels optimistic that he's going to go despite it being a short week. So we'll discuss that game more at length in just a little bit, Michael. But with all these teams on bye, it seems like a natural point for the quarterly NFL owners meetings. And we did see the news today that Roger Goodell officially has been extended to 2027, a very lucrative deal. While we don't know the specific numbers, it's expected that his contract is upward of $60 million a year. I don't even know, Michael. I've never asked you, like, what are your general feelings on Goodell as commissioner and how he's done the last, you know, 17 years?
Well, I mean, he's been obviously one of the best commissioners in all of sports. The popularity of the game has grown tremendously. The value of the franchises has significantly risen. I mean, the Washington football team just sold for $6.05 billion. Denver sold for $4.5 billion. I mean, why does that happen? Because the league is just so, everybody loves the league. The ratings are good. The ability to reach all the global world. I mean, we're playing in Germany, playing in England. Look, he deserves a ton of the credit. I mean, he deserves a ton of the credit for the game being able to grow and put wealth, more wealth, into these owners' pockets. And ultimately, that's who he works for. He works for those 32 owners.
Yeah, and like I said, his new deal will go through March of 2027. That'll have him at 21 years in the role. This is expected to likely be his last extension in this position. But speaking of how the game has grown and playing in other countries, unfortunately, the NFL will not play in Mexico next year. This was another thing that came out of the league meetings with Estadio Azteca undergoing renovation. So they're exploring either Spain or Brazil as another potential option. Other items discussed at the meetings, they approved a change of the interview procedure for coaching vacancies, banning those in-person outside candidate meetings until after the divisional round of the playoffs. They're looking at the tush push. Don't expect a rule change there. They're considering eliminating the hip drop tackle as well, which I wanted your opinion on from that standpoint, because the league says that creates 25 times the injury risk compared to a standard tackle, and also continuing research on those playing surfaces and seeing what they can do to make things more uniform around the league.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know how they're going to handle the hip tackling, because, you know, I don't know what they expect some of these players to do when they get, you know, like the other night, I forget, it was like, what did you expect him to do when he went in there and tackle? I think it was Kirsch got called for a penalty, you know, and you just like, wait a minute. Quarterback was, you can't stop your body just because he starts to slide, you know? Like, to me, there's some of those that are just ridiculous, but it'll be interesting to see how they do it. Look, we saw Bo Jackson go down with a hip, one of these kind of tackles, mm-hmm. and ended his career. So if it helps in that area, I'm all for it. But I don't know how they're going to police it. I don't know how they're going to officiate it, because we haven't been able to get any of that officiated properly.
I mean, officials in general have been a big problem. So maybe that's what Goodell needs to do. You got this new money, you got this new contract. Let's have a call with officials. Let's get things set and figured out, because it's been pretty atrocious. Like even the Monday night game, Michael, we saw 20 flags on the field. It was just too much.
Well, you know, whenever you can get, you know, you got, you know, Scott Novak was doing the Jets game. He's going to throw his flags. You know, you got some guys that just love to do it. I mean, they think people come to watch them. And I get it. You know, I get it if you see a call, you know, that you see a holding call at the point of attack. I get that. But some of them, you know, like they don't even understand. Like I could, like when a defensive player gives himself up and a big man tackles, almost looks like he tackles him, you can't call holding on that. The guy was giving himself up, yet they do.
And I know it's the hardest job, the completely thankless job as well, being an official in the National Football League, but it just kills me sometimes. All you want to do is be on TV, do X, Y, and Z, and then in the critical moments when you should make the call, you don't. So anyways, neither here nor there. Let's move it forward, because we did get official word, Michael. We expected this. We talked about it yesterday, but that Anthony Richardson is going to go ahead and have season-ending shoulder surgery. Jim Irsay, the team owner, on X today, making the announcement official, and did add that they anticipate a full recovery, said there's no doubt Anthony has a promising future, and in the meantime, he loves the fight of this team and is excited for the opportunity they have ahead of them that starts this week in Cleveland, where Indy is getting 2 points against the Browns. And another thing we talked about yesterday, so Gardner Minshew's going to be on this side. Who's going to be on the other? Still TBD with Deshaun Watson. But Michael, he is expected to talk to media today, which I think is, as we look on our screen, move the line a little bit here, anticipating Deshaun Watson might play. The Browns are a 3-point favorite right now.
Well, that was going down this morning when I got up. It was 1.5. It was 2 and 1.5 somewhere. And now it's moving in the other direction. And I didn't understand it. I had heard a lot of the lot of money was coming in on Indy. I don't really understand that, because how is Indy going to move the ball? When you watch Indy play Jacksonville last week, it really wasn't a complicated game plan for Mike Caldwell and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Played press man coverage on these receivers. They can't separate. Alex Pierce is hurt. Whether he can play or not, I don't know. But he's one of the few guys on the Colts that can make plays. So the receivers are not great there. Michael Pittman, all those guys. And then they played a front, which makes it almost impossible to run the ball on. So they take away the run game, play tight man-to-man, and you pressure Minshew inside. How is he going to move the ball against a defense that has given up 52 first downs? Think about that. The Browns have only given up 52 first downs all season. All year, 6 games, 52 first downs. They've got 3 corners that can cover man-to-man. They have no problem. There's no issues in terms of what the Browns do from a scheme standpoint. It's not complicated. They block you. They play bump, run, press, and they get after your quarterback. I mean, I think the under's in play here, certainly. What's it at 40.5?
41.5
in some shops. You know, but I just don't know how Indy scores, because in these games, Minshew tends to play smaller.
Yeah, and you said yesterday too that not only in terms of this game, but the rest of the way with Gardner Minshew, the warts that this team has aren't going to be as easy to be masked and covered up as they would be when you have Anthony Richardson in there. So updated season win total as well to that end, 7.5. The over is juiced to the -140. Jalen Hurts, we know, is coming off a 3-interception performance this past weekend, Michael, but getting a little extra depth and help in that wide receiver room, it appears. As I was walking to the car after we got off the air yesterday, Julio Jones signed a 1-year deal with the Eagles.
That was a head scratcher for me. I didn't get that one, Stormy. I when I watch the Eagles on tape, a receiver isn't kind of what jumps out to me that they may need, right? Like, I didn't see that. Now, I think they need a backup right tackle, because if Lane Johnson doesn't play, they're not as good as a football team. So I don't know how that really is all going to translate. You know, because the last time we saw Julio, it was in Tennessee, and he wasn't playing, and he had no juice in his lower body. Now, maybe the time off and all that, it's going to help him. But look, I mean, why would we throw the ball to anybody but A.J. Brown? Why would we throw it to anybody but Smith or Goddard? Like, I mean, those are the 3 leading receivers on the team. Like, why are we throwing it to anybody other than those 3? Seriously, why would we?
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you look at Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's the funniest team of all, and it relates to this conversation as well. Like, Atlanta, I mean, Bijan Robinson averages 5 yards a carry. Algier averaged 3.2. Algier has 75 carries, Robinson has 80. Like, at some point after six games, you say, I'm not giving the ball to Algier anymore. That's it. I'm done. Like, Robinson's going to get the ball. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in Philly. Like, why would we give the ball to anybody but those three guys I just mentioned?
Yeah, and I mean, with Julio Jones, fourth team in the last 4 years, he is a Hall of Fame wide receiver, but and doesn't have the same juice that he once did now at 34 years old. But that said, I understand from maybe just a leadership standpoint, like A.J. Brown, 26 years old, maybe just bringing in a veteran presence, one last shot for him to try to give it his all and get a Super Bowl under his belt. I don't know if there were, like you said off the top, there are probably other things they could have gone and get, but I mean, as cheap as Julio Jones is, just to add a veteran leadership presence, I don't mind it. It's not anything that moves the needle for me, but it's not something that like bothers me by any means, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think when they put him on practice, right? So I put him on practice, what they're saying to you is they're going to look, they're kicking the tires, basically. There's no commitment here that he's on the team.
Right.
You know, they're going to kick the tires and see how he holds up. Can he stay healthy? I think that's the first question you got to ask yourself. Can he stay healthy?
Yeah, the PCL last year, of course, the lingering hamstring injuries that he's dealt with. So certainly things to keep on. What does he have left in the tank from a health standpoint? Also, speaking of injuries, before we go to the break, the Eagles are facing the Miami Dolphins this week. And Jalen Ramsey watch is over. His 21-day window opening, he's expected to be back on the practice field today for the Miami Dolphins. And for a defense that, Michael, we've said that's kind of been the one thing that's maybe holding them back as a contender because of how high-flying that offense is. That'd be a good get to have him back.
Yeah, it really would be. They need him back. I mean, Xavier Howard's hurt again. So, you know, he's got some issues. He hasn't really covered. They don't really have a pure cover guy in their secondary. They need him back badly.
Regardless, he's not going to play this Sunday in that game against Philadelphia. Not going to try to rush him back, but should be back sooner rather than later, which is a big boost to that defense. More injuries to come, including a certain New York Jets player. Might not be the one you think, though. We'll discuss when we return.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand as well. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up for just $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. We're just talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and their newest addition. They were handed their first loss of the season this past weekend by the New York Jets, but it was a player who didn't play in the game who was actually making some of the big headlines. Aaron Rodgers, as of today, Michael, is officially 5 weeks post-op from that season-ending, or what we thought was season-ending, Achilles surgery. He's thrown on the field pregame, no crutches, transitioning weight from one foot to the other, and yesterday was Aaron Rodgers Tuesday on the Pat McAfee show, where he said for him, it was good to just feel involved, back around the team, feel a little bit normal. As for a return this season, here's what Rodgers had to say.
Yeah, that's the goal. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to put a timetable on it specifically. That makes absolutely no sense. Anybody that does doesn't realize that there's a lot of things that have to happen to get to that point. But it's going to have to be jogging and then explosive moments and then practicing and then everybody's signing off on it. And, you know, hopefully we get to have those conversations.
Hopefully we get to have those conversations, Michael. Is it realistic?
I don't think it is, but I think what he's trying to do is keep his team afloat. What he's trying to do is give the team hope, right? He's trying to say, okay, look, you know, if you keep us in this and we're in the playoffs and, you know, I could come back, then, you know, we might have a chance. So I think to me, it's the strategy is I want to keep this team engaged. I want the team to feel like, you know, I'm doing something to help the team, which I think is good. You know, it's good for him. He needs to, because if he quits, you know, I think the team could fall apart. Look, let's face it here. Now, I think he's taken a leadership role to get him to play better. And he's really helping out Robert Saleh. He's helping the head coach out because he's keeping the focus on the now, on we've got something we're playing for that's bigger. And look, you could say, oh, well, you know, he just loves the attention. Look, I think the attention may be something he loves, but the reality of what he's trying to do by keeping his team in tune is really good.
Yeah, that's where I think there's value, because I do think, based on his personality and what we've known about Aaron Rodgers the last handful of years, is he is attention seeking, and he does a lot of things that make headlines. Pretty much everything that he does at this point makes headlines. But right. from a leadership standpoint and what he brings to the group, I think it's definitely a motivational thing. He's speaking a lot of things into existence, whether it's for him personally or just for the team taking steps forward. If he were to come back this year, we all know it would be historic for him to do, especially at 40 years old. So I'd say, as he likes to say, R-E-L-A-X, when it comes to that sort of thing and him being able to play, because even if he does, Michael, that offensive line is still just going to be so rough for him to play behind. I feel like he would get hurt again.
Of course he would, you know, and his rhythm. I mean, look, it's funny how the media just takes this hook, line, and sinker. Like, we watched Deshaun Watson come back after not having much practice and look horrible. I know he's Aaron Rodgers and he's great, but it's hard. It's a hard sport to play at a high, high level when everybody else is playing fast. So, but I think there's a bigger purpose here than just, okay, he's going to try to come back and play. I think the bigger purpose is clearly he wants to keep his team motivated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you've said a number of times, being cleared to play and playing at a high level are two very, very different things. So it's something that's going to continue to be a theme throughout the rest of this regular season as he hits and exceeds benchmarks that are set that we'll have to talk about. But I think from a realistic standpoint, him throwing on the field doesn't do anything for me other than keeping his team more engaged and trying to get above that 3-3 threshold.
But we love to talk about it. Everybody, I mean, it keeps the Jets relevant. I mean, it keeps them in the news, right?
Keeps them in the news, gives us content on a daily basis, baby. We'll keep it rolling. But you were talking earlier in the show about how the line has moved in the Thursday night football game. So let's discuss that a little bit deeper. Trevor Lawrence was limited at practice yesterday wearing a knee brace, but he says he's progressing really well. He's optimistic that he's going to go ahead and play on Thursday night football against the Saints, dealing with that knee injury. Opened pick'em, moved to Jacksonville +3. Now it's just sitting at a 1. Obviously that moved with people thinking he wasn't going to play. Now the way that he's talked, and Michael, the way that he talked too in his availability about how he hasn't missed a start since he's joined the Jacksonville Jaguars, that's a point of pride for him. I think that's what really, like, firmly for me, makes me believe he's going to play.
Yeah, I think he's going to try to go. I think there's no question. But C.J. Beathard's getting all the reps. And so, you know, and this is a tough defense to go against on the road. The other injury that's significant is Tyson Campbell, their second-round pick from 21, who's their best corner on the team. He's not, you know, he may not play in the game. And then they have two offensive linemen that are hurt, Walker Little and Brandon Shreef. So, you know, their injuries are starting to mount. And I think the travel, the wear and tear of what they've gone through, 2 weeks in London, you know, fly home, play a game against the Colts, and now Thursday playing another game. I mean, you could just sense from listening to Doug Peterson in his press conference, they're exhausted.
Yeah.
And they're catching a team like New Orleans who needs a win, who needs to play way better than they have played, and are really good defensively. This should be a game where, you know, if you think New Orleans could actually run the football and score in the red zone, they should play well. All this rhetoric about, you know, the David Carr is just a good defense away from being a playoff. No, we haven't seen it yet. We got to see it.
And to your point about what you said about the Jags and their travel situation, they've been 3-0 in those games. That's hard to ask a team to keep getting up and keep winning from that standpoint. So that's a good thought there. And listen, Press Taylor, the offensive coordinator, can say that he has all the faith in the world of C.J. Beathard if they need him. I would prefer a compromised Trevor Lawrence and an injured Trevor Lawrence over C.J. Beathard. Knowing what I know about him as a San Francisco 49ers fan and the 2-10 record he had with us, step aside, C.J. Trevor's going to go ahead and play from that standpoint. But hey, the Saints are dealing with some injuries of their own, Michael, as well. Derek Carr, he was added on Monday to the injury report with a chest in addition to the right shoulder that he's been dealing with. Was back yesterday, so listed, taken off of the injury report, yesterday. But their right tackle unlikely to suit up in concussion protocol. Their linebacker, DeMario Davis, held out at practice again with a knee. Chris Olave's limited. Jamal Williams, his practice window does open, which is a positive thing. So a lot of injuries to monitor from the Saints side of things as well.
Yeah, and both tackles. You know, James Hurst, and as you said, Ryan Ramczyk, he's out. Landon Jones, their third tackle, he could potentially miss. And this has caused residual problems for the Saints offense. They can't run the football, right? Their best rusher is Taysom Hill. If you take his 122 yards out of their 575 yards, they have no ground game. They're below 2-3 yards a carry. They can't run the ball. And a lot of it is due to this offensive line. And that's the issue. They haven't been able to stay healthy in the line. But here's where they gain an advantage this game, right? In the games that Jacksonville's lost, right? In the games where they haven't been able to win, you know, they've averaged 13 points a game. In the games that they've won, they've averaged 29. So this tends to be a low-scoring game. So if you're playing the under, you might want to play the Saints here. The Saints will be hard to score on. They really will be, especially playing at home. Especially playing at home. I mean, the Saints do a good job of being able to keep the game close. The problem is their kicker was a disaster last week, and so was Carr.
Yeah, you can't, 350 yards and you only score that many points, that's not how things are supposed to work typically. No. And speaking of the under, the Saints are on a 12-0 under run, 15-1 to the under their last 16 games. One more injury we can hit here real quickly before the break. Daniel Jones, he goes on weekly with Up and Adams with Kay Adams, and he said he's trying hard to get back to prove the doctors and trainers he's ready to go, but still dealing with the symptoms of it. That doesn't sound optimistic.
No, and here's where I am on this game. You're going to be shocked. I really like the Giants. I think if you go back over it, there's a lot to like about the Giants in the game. Here's where I'm hesitant. I thought Taylor could get hurt last week. I think Taylor's very brittle. He's older. He's very brittle. If this becomes a Tommy DeVito game, you're not going to cover this. Washington's numbers are a disaster. When you really break down Washington's in terms of what they're doing offensively, they're going to get their quarterback killed. I mean, they're 30th in rushing attempts, and they lead the league in sacks allowed. Like, how do those two things go together? Like, you got to protect your quarterback. You're 30th in rushing attempts. Meanwhile, your quarterback's getting the crap beat out of them. Like, and you're not making, like, explosive plays. It isn't like they're operating as if they got Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense. I mean, this is not what they're going to do. The Giants beat them twice last year. They'll move the ball because everybody moves the ball in Washington. Washington can't stop anybody. You know, they haven't been able to stop anybody. The Giants, how bad is this? The Giants are +5 in the turnover takeaway column in the last 2 weeks, right? The +5, and they've been outscored 42-25.
Wow. Michael, don't add the Giants to your card this weekend. Don't have Giants Commanders be a game that we're picking this week. There's other options, I feel like. That's one.
I agree. Ugh. And the one, I like them, but when I sat there and I wrote it down here, hard to take the Giants if Taylor's the starter, because if he gets injured, it's a Tommy DeVito game. That'll keep me off the GMAT.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Basketball season is ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NBA betting guide featuring up-to-date previews on all 30 teams, futures and year-long player props, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting model from senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel. Give yourself an edge this season. Get the VSiN NBA betting guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can do so at vsin.com/subscribe. And Michael, thank goodness that Philadelphia, that y'all have the Phillies right now, and how crazy that has been, because between the Eagles losing their first game, oh my goodness, and the 76ers and James Harden not showing up, Michael, there could be chaos, but there's not, because the Phillies are on just an absolute steamroller right now.
Houston resting comfortably, yes, because he wants to be traded to the Chargers. I mean, to the Clippers.
Yeah.
So everything's fine. Don't worry. Ugh. Have you ever seen a franchise that have more players quit on them than the 76ers? Seriously.
Well, like I said, I've said it every day this week. I'm not going to force you to go down that tunnel, but every day I see new James Harden news. I have to bring it up at least once. But don't worry. We'll go back to the NFL here. We were talking yesterday a little bit as well, Michael, about some 3-3 teams. And I asked you if you thought the Saints were the worst of the 3-3 teams. You said no. You said it is the Washington Commanders. So that made me naturally want to break down all of the 3-3 teams and see if we're buying or selling. So let's start with those Washington Commanders, because based on that sentiment, I already know that you're selling, but I'll bring it up anyways. Their season win total updated is 7.5. Buying or selling them getting over that number? What do we think? They're going to be up?
Initially, I thought they could get over. I misjudged their ability to play defense. I'm selling. Their defense is horrendous. They're horrendous. I mean, first of all, Howell gets sacked 13.7% of the time, 34 sacks in 6 games. They won't run the ball, you know, and they're 13th in yards per attempt rushing. So it isn't like they can't run it. They just don't run it. And their quarterback's going to get killed. I'm selling.
Selling, and I don't blame you. Now, you said the Saints are not the worst. They could be close to the next worst, maybe. 3-3, their season updated win total, 9.5. We said that they were going to be the best team in this division, and that has not played out to this point.
Well, we said that based on Carr playing half decent, and that hasn't held up his end of the deal. I'm selling this. There's no chance they're going to go to 9. The losing the way they did to Houston was inexcusable, you know. And I'm not saying that because I took Houston. I mean, I took the Saints, but they outgained them. They did everything except put the ball in the end zone. And the quarter, they have nobody to blame but your quarterback. I don't know if he's going to stay healthy either. This game is going to be hard because both tackles are going to miss the game and the backup tackle. Good luck.
And he's dealing with a chest and that shoulder injury that's been lingering the last couple of weeks. Speaking of health, that is always what it comes down to, it seems like, the last couple of years with the Los Angeles Rams. Buying or selling LA as a 3-3 team?
I'm going to buy them, and with a caveat. Stafford has to stay healthy. Stafford and Aaron Donald have to stay healthy. People will put Kupp in there. They've already proven they can play without Kupp, right? They've proven that. They can't win without Stafford, and they can't win without Donald. I'll buy them.
Plus 115 for LA to make the playoffs. Their updated season win total, 8.5. Also, speaking to injuries, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reporting earlier that Kyren Williams is at least expected to miss a couple weeks, but should be on track after the week 10 bye. So something that we'll have to keep an eye on. They signed a couple other depth running backs, Daryl Henderson, Miles Gaskin, moving up in that standpoint, but sinks they're going to be without their lead back for the next month.
Yeah, I mean, they always seem to have some kind of injury, but at least, you know, they're going to need to get their running game going here. I mean, that's going to be the problem. Can they get that done?
I don't know. How about the Atlanta Falcons? Also 3-3. Finally getting some other guys involved in the passing game. I know people are all big mad at Desmond Ridder and the interceptions, but you feel he's improving. Are we buying or selling Atlanta?
I'm going to buy Atlanta. And look, they're really good on third down. They don't turn the ball over with their defense. They've only had 4 turnovers created all year. They've turned the ball over with their offense because they're throwing it more. They've averaged 225 yards passing the last 2 weeks. Everybody said, well, we got to get him to throw the football. Well, you know, the problem is sometimes he makes mistakes, as young quarterbacks often do. Look, they've got to settle on, we're going to get the ball to Robinson. We got to get the ball to London and Pitts. We've got to make those guys be the guys that make the most plays on our team. And then we've got to create some pressure with our defense. I think that's been the biggest concern.
Let's go to the AFC. We talked earlier in the show already about the New York Jets. And of course, they get a big win over the Philadelphia Eagles this past week. I was impressed by the Jets. Without their top 3 corners, they come away with 3 interceptions, 4 turnovers total forced on the day. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say Zach Wilson is playing well, but he's not playing bad. He didn't cost the Jets the game the last 2 weeks. 1-2 in a row, buying or selling as they go into the bye?
I'm going to sell. I mean, they couldn't beat the Patriots. Seriously? You couldn't beat the Patriots?
Well, Michael, I mean, real quickly, especially because Robert Saleh said in that post-game press conference that we've played a number of good quarterbacks and we've embarrassed them. Well, obviously you didn't embarrass Dak Prescott, and you let Mac Jones beat you. So I don't know.
I mean, come on. And then, you know, everybody's now they're back to being a great defense again, you know, I mean, because they beat the Eagles. We'll see. I'm not going down that road. I'm just not.
The one thing that I will say in defense of the New York Jets, though, Michael, is that if you would have told me going into this season that Zach Wilson going up against Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts on the other side, there's 9 interceptions combined in those games. How many would you guess that Zach Wilson had of those 9? Just like going into the year, 5 or 6, right? 5 or 6, I would say.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably one. So yeah. pretty remarkable, I think, from that standpoint. Let's keep it going. The Cincinnati Bengals at 3-3. They are typically slow starters. Joe Burrow looking healthier, buying or selling?
I would buy them. They improved defensively. They rushed the passer really well last week, which saved the game for them. I mean, look, they won the game in the red zone because they got stops in the red zone. I'll buy them for right now.
To make the playoffs, plus 140, their season win total sitting 8.5, juice minus 150 to the over, half game out of first in that AFC North, which we were talking about yesterday. Seems like all the wild cards in the AFC are going to come from that division, the way that they've been playing. The Houston Texans, CJ Stroud has been phenomenal. The defense under DeMeco Ryan seems to be waking up. They have been playing some good football at 3-3. Season win total updated 8.5, juice to the over. Are we buying or selling? Is this for real?
I'm buying them hard. I'll double down and buy them. Look, they're good in the kicking game. They're better on defense. And their offensive line, which was a mess pretty much most of the season because of all the injuries that they had, I think they're playing really well. And Stroud has not missed a beat. He's been great. So I'm definitely buying them.
We were talking a week ago on Why Not Wednesday about whether or not we should back the Houston Texans to win the division. It was plus 475 then, plus 275 now. The things have certainly changed. The betting market seems to agree with our thought process that Houston is turning things around. The Indianapolis Colts, we talked about how Anthony Richardson officially lost for the season, and with Gardner Minshew in at quarterback, it's harder to cover up some of the other glaring issues that this team has. I assume you're selling on them as a 3-3 team. Their win total 7.5.
No chance you're getting me to buy them. Not with Gardner. No, I mean, once you know, Gardner may have a good game here and a good game there, but there's too many times where he plays small. This week against Cleveland, I don't understand why people are in love with the Colts this week against the Browns. Look, P.J. Walker's not a great player. He threw two interceptions last week. They ran for 160 yards against the 49ers. You don't think the Browns are going to be able to run the ball against the Indianapolis Colts? I mean, you know, I think they can win with their defense. The Browns have proven that. Look, here's how good Cleveland is on defense. They've only allowed one quarterback to throw for 200 yards, and that was Kenny Pickett. And in that 200 yards was a 71-yard reception. Think about that, Stormy.
Yeah.
They played six games, and you can't throw the ball. People are throwing the ball on them. Like, how are the Colts going to move the ball on them?
Hard to argue the Cleveland Browns' best defense in the league right now. And I imagine some of that betting sentiment's going to change if Deshaun Watson ends up playing. Again, he is speaking to the media at some point today. Last one here, the Las Vegas Raiders. They are 3-3. Updated win total, 7.5. Injury can... I know it's tough. It's
tough.
I have to
buy them. I mean, Millie's listening to the show. I have to buy them. So... yeah, I will. I'll buy them.
Here, I'll
buy them.
I'll at least follow up with the question, what's your level of concern with Jimmy Garoppolo? Because it's always the injury factor that's the question.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. I hold my breath every time he gets hit. I feel badly, you know? I mean, they've played six games. They've won three games when they've only turned the ball over once. They've lost three games when they've turned it over three times. They've yet to play a game where they haven't turned it over. So for me, you know, I mean, I don't know what will happen this week. I haven't seen the medical report, and certainly my son's not telling me. He's cut off all communications with the family, and since Sienna can't really talk, I can't get anything out of her. So eventually she will tell me, but right now her language is not very good. She can point her finger better than anybody, but I mean, I think it'll be, if it's not Garoppolo, it'll be Aiden O'Connell.
Yep. We are waiting with bated breath for Sienna to get the vocab down so we can get some of the inside information. But yep, that is one that we'll have to keep an eye on as well. Jimmy Garoppolo dealing with a back injury. We will look at some of the biggest betting splits and disparities for this week's action.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN, that's V-S-I-N, when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook. the crown is yours. So we've kind of been in and out talking about various games throughout the course of the hour, but now we're going to look at it from the betting splits perspective, Michael. And there are a few of them that have pretty notable heavy dollar bills coming in on one side of the action. And that starts with one of the biggest favorites, the biggest favorite of the weekend, the Buffalo Bills, a 9-point favorite against the New England Patriots. And people feel comfortable, it appears, laying that number, 78% of handle, 80% of the early bets this week coming in on Buffalo. And that's despite their quarterback and Josh Allen getting dinged up this past week and having a rough performance on Sunday.
Yeah, there's 8.5s out there. There's some 8s. Actually, Circa, where you are, has 8. You know, here at in DraftKings New Jersey, they're still at 9. And I think the reason everybody's doing this and betting Buffalo is simply this, right? If you go since the win game, when the wind was howling, the Bills have outscored the Patriots 139-81. There hasn't been a close game. There has not been a close game. Each game that they've won has been 10 points or more. So why would this be any different, right? Why would this be any different, even though they're playing home? And the Patriots have struggled against movement quarterbacks. We know this. And Allen buys time like he did the other night. It makes it sensational play, and they struggle to finish it. So for me, this has been a very challenging team to play for New England. And the fact that you know there's going to be 13-mile-an-hour winds there in Foxborough, and you also know that they can't score points, New England. They can't run the ball, and they can't throw it. Other than that, they're wonderful.
So that was kind of my follow-up, is that obviously Buffalo dealing with some significant injuries on the defensive side of the ball, could that open up an opportunity for New England maybe to do something offensively, but you don't believe so?
I think it's hard. I could, you know, I think people are going to, I mean, if the number ticks down, right, to 8, I think it's an easy play at 8. 9, okay. You know, you're always concerned. But I would expect by Sunday, this is going to tick back up, because I think people are going to look at that number and say, wait a minute, how are they going to score? And then when you look at the weather, 13-mile-an-hour winds, Mac Jones hasn't thrown the ball very effectively. And if Buffalo plays from in front, which is what they want to do, and New England's not been able to, it makes it even harder.
Yeah, probably hungry to bounce back too. They escaped with a win, yes, on Sunday against the Giants, but we all know that it was ugly and they want to put a better performance out there. The Cardinals and Seahawks going head-to-head in a division game in Seattle this weekend. Bets relatively split from this standpoint, 58% of the handle, 49% of bets. Doesn't impact this game directly, but also good to note for anybody out there, Kyler Murray's practice window has opened. He announced on social media that he's going to get back out there at practice today. Same thing for Buda Baker. So interesting development there, Michael. And I know we talked.
They need Buda back.
Yeah, go ahead.
They need Buda back badly. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just saying I agree from that standpoint. Absolutely. But with Kyler Murray, I know we talked in the preseason about how, like, given his contract and some of the guarantees in that, feels unlikely that he'll play this season. You still feel that way?
I do. I don't know why they would put him back out there. I mean, unless they're committed to him, unless he's changed his personality. I think this is a hard game for Arizona, because Arizona, you know, the line was, you know, it's been moved around a little bit. It was 9.5, and now it's come back down to I think it's pretty much 8 across the board. Isn't it, Stormy?
7.5 and 8, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, last year they won both games by 10 points. I don't think Seattle is as good last year as they are this year, and I think Arizona is worse than last year. So, you know, in one of those games, Murray was the quarterback. Seattle seems to always play Arizona very well. So I think if it's at 8, I could see a lot of people jumping on Seattle.
We're going to talk to start hour two a good bit about Survivor and what some of the options are this week. This, to me, feels like the most obvious play. And I know people don't like division games oftentimes, but this is a matchup that has favored Seattle and feels like a good spot, in my opinion. But we'll discuss that a little bit more in a bit. We talked already about Browns Colts and the Deshaun Watson and Anthony Richardson of it all. As far as the splits right now, it seems like, at least with the thought process, Deshaun Watson could be getting closer to play. He is not going to practice today. We did get that confirmed. The line has moved more in favor of Cleveland.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised this wasn't at 3 to open, you know, and now it's kind of leaning towards, it's 2.5. There's some DraftKings here in New Jersey's at 3 at 105. And so, you know, there's 3s somewhere out there. There's 2.5s. I have no faith in the Colt offense, and I have less faith in the Colt defense when they play against a good scheme. They run a scheme similar to what San Francisco runs. Not exactly, but similar. And the Browns ran for 160. Now, look, I don't like betting P.J. Walker. I'll tell you that, because a little bit like what we talked about with the Giants, you know, if Walker, you know, he could mess it up easily for you, and next thing you know, this game doesn't go the way it is. We've seen this before, right? They lost to Baltimore, and Baltimore didn't do anything offensively, and they were never in the Baltimore game. So probably a no play for me, only because I can't see taking the Colt against this defense, especially the way that Jacksonville just squeezed them to death. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jacksonville made it so hard for Minshew. And it felt like he had no ability to drive the ball anywhere. And who's going to make plays for the Colts? Who's going to be the explosive receiver? Alex Pierce, we'll find out today if he's even going to play. Right now, they're hurt.
Yeah, I got to keep an eye on all those injury reports that are coming out today. How about in the NFC South? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a 2.5-point favorite against the Falcons. 86% of the handle, 80% of bets. Backing Tampa in a bounce-back spot. They do have a +6 turnover differential, and seeing Desmond Ridder throwing 6 interceptions this year, tied for 3rd most in the NFL, maybe people trusting backing the Bucs.
Well, look, here's the reality. They're going to have to trust Ridder in the game because no team runs the football on the Bucs. Just think about this number now. Think about this for a second here. So the Philadelphia Eagles ran the football against Tampa. They gained over 200 yards in the game. Okay, they gained 218. In the other four games, the Bucs have only allowed 218 yards. In one game, they allowed 201, and in other four, it's 218. So you're going to sit there and say, okay, it's going to be hard. Now, remember last year with Brady, it's been a hard, they've not run the ball well against them. So Ritter's going to have to play good. And do you trust Ritter to play well and not turn the ball over? I don't trust Mayfield to play good and not turn the ball over either. So, you know, they ran last year for 69 yards in the game down in Tampa. They struggle to run the football. But I think what Arthur Smith needs to do is figure out, look, I got Bijan Robinson here. I know Algier's a nice player. Maybe they should trade Algier to a team that needs a back, because they need to get people out of the way so they give the ball to Robinson.
And I like when Bijan Robinson gets the ball, because it helps my fantasy team out. We're on the comeback trail, by the way, because granted the Bengals are on a bye this week, but Joe Burrow, with him coming alive, really helped things out, moving things up a notch. If the Ravens continue to struggle in the red zone, keep letting Justin Tucker kick that thing. Got 19 points from my kicker this week. I'm on cloud 9. We're turning things around here, Michael. This is an interesting one. Packers -1 in Denver against the Browns. 51% of handle, but 72% of bets on the Packers. So a split here pretty evenly in terms of the money, though it seems like public tickets coming in on Green Bay. How do you view this game?
This is a pro's Joe game. I mean, I know this sounds completely strange, right? This is a pros and Joe's. The pros are on Denver. Why? I don't know. They're all over Denver. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand it. I don't get it. The public's all over Green Bay. I get that, especially with Aaron Jones coming back. Like, I think Green Bay, with basically the bye week, they've had time to kind of figure it all out. We know Aaron Jones is going to play. I mean, this defense for Green Bay is good. It is really good. And they'll create some problems for Russell Wilson and this Bronco offense. So everybody's on Denver. The pros are all over Denver. The line opened at 2.5 and moved down to 1. But the public's on Green Bay. To me, it's a stay away, because if I did anything, I would want to recommend Green Bay.
Right.
Because I don't see it with Denver. It's like last week. There were some games, you know, when you look at the board, you're just like, I don't get that one. Everybody was on Tampa last week against the Lions. Didn't get that one, right? You know, so there's certain games that you look at and like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense, you know? I think to me that this is one of those. This is one of those that makes no sense at all.
Yeah, because everything in your like mind and gut tells you, how is Green Bay only favored by 1 here? The Broncos are terrible.
Yeah.
But It's at that number for a reason. And so yes. One that we're going to have to keep an eye on. And speaking of the Lions, Lions-Ravens, I think, is an interesting one, too, with Detroit having the success that they've had at 5-1, getting 3 points in that spot. So another one we'll have to monitor. We're going to step aside. Hour two of the Lombardi Lines coming up next. We're going to deep dive into Survivor. We got Harry Gagnon coming up in hour two, which means, you know, we got a fire cartoon on deck. You won't want to miss it. Stick with us right here on VSiN.